it is 5:30, which means it's time for the monthly meeting of the Gila County Board of Supervisor, District 2, Tim Humphrey meeting. How are you, Tim?
I'm well, Riley. How are you this evening?
Can't complain.
Good, good.
Yeah.
We got a gentleman coming on air this evening, Mr. Robert Jacques from TRSD. Yeah. And I believe John will have him on the phone.
He's on hold already.
And so I was just going to let you give out the call-in number to these people. And I was just going to let them know that I had a Roosevelt meeting at 1 o'clock today, and I had 21 people sign the sign-in sheet at my Roosevelt meeting. So if any of them have anything to say anything to me when Robert gets finished, I want them to get their pin out and be ready.
Yeah, we know because we record these and I put them on the website. We know you download them. We know a lot of people listening now, and virtually no one ever calls. And so this is the challenge. If Roosevelt can have 21 people, we can get some callers. And that is 888-876-5593. 888-876-5593. 8888-ROLLYE. Easy to remember. All right. So now with that in mind, we will welcome Robert Jacques to KQSS. Hey, Robert, how are you?
I am fine. How are you? I wish I could get 21 people to attend our board meetings.
I know. It's so odd because Roosevelt or Tonto Basin, they show up in droves. And here, it's like nothing. Yet, boy, when they want to complain, they're vociferous.
We are a big project, the biggest in the state of its kind, according to Charlene Fernandez, state director. And it's sad to me that people whose lives will be affected by this project don't come to our meetings. You meet them on the street. I'm meeting more people now because I'm working on acquiring the last few private easements.
Uh-huh.
And I have to tell you, it's an education, and I really enjoy meeting the people in our district.
No, that's great. Well, I think one of the problems, as you know, your board has done so much to move this forward that now most of us absolutely are convinced it's going to happen. But we're talking well over a decade of non-movement at all. And I think people who were looking at it after a while said, well, it's never going to happen. And so the word should be that, oh, yes, it is, and it's underway. Now, speaking of that, do you have a site yet for the processing station?
Well, that's a great lead-in question, Raleigh, and maybe a month ago I would have said we have a good possibility, but not. We had a special meeting on September 13, wherein the board approved and I signed a real property transfer agreement by way of quitclaim deed, which sealed the transfer of just under 9 acres of land that was donated to us after a long period of negotiation by BHP Copper.
How wonderful.
They were great to work with. They've been great working with us, and we feel the same. We hope they feel the same about us. The site is located or will be located about 2 miles to the north of the intersection of Highway 60 and Arizona 188. When you're driving to the north, the site will be located on the west side of 188 between the original alignment of 188, immediately to the east of the Arizona Eastern Railroad tracks and the Gila County Cattle Growers Association stockyards. It's right where 188 kind of makes a little fish hook. We will have about 9 acres in there on which our site will be located. The site is located at the very north end of the northerly end of phase three of the project. It is a site that appears to have been occupied maybe associated with the old Bixby pump station. It had two fairly large water retention basins, which may have been part of the pumping of water from Old Dominion over to Freeport or points to the west, and some scattered remnants of maybe pump bases, that sort of thing. It's heavily overgrown with mesquite trees. I've walked the transect of the two basins, and I'll tell you, you need full gear and full facial protection because the mesquite are really, really thick and a problem in that. But we're really excited, and for us, to quote Winston Churchill, it's not the beginning of the end, but it surely is the end of the of a beginning. And we had an excellent article published in the Arizona Silver Belt the week following the signing of the real property transfer. It's a watershed moment for us. It lets us complete the final design for phase one. And for us, it's a real, real step forward.
Oh, it's just wonderful. And you're so right. BHP is so great to the area that it's just a delight to have them. We don't see them, their presence as much, because I don't think they're actively mining at the moment, but they own an awful lot of land and they go out of their way to help us. So I'm delighted to hear this.
It was a challenging negotiation. They are multinational and huge. We are just a tiny blip on their radar.
Sure.
But we wound up dealing locally with several groups. The local legacy assets vice president, Kevin
mm-hmm.
Ramsey.
Mm-hmm.
Dion, I've lost her first name. We're both great to work with. Their people were challenging. And it was really a great exercise. But I'll tell you, dealing locally and then dealing with Melbourne, Australia, Santiago, Chile, and Houston, Texas, because they all have a stake in the game.
Of
it's
course.
Quite an exercise, and it was quite a lengthy exercise as well.
Well, I'm so glad it worked out. Now, with that in mind, is there any projected date for stage one to be online? Or phase one, I should
say.
I will give you
our best estimates at this time, Raleigh. We, if everything would go well, and there are always hurdles mm-hmm. that jump up and grab us
right.
that we have to clear, if everything goes well, we will begin construction on the collection system first quarter of next year.
Okay.
And if our luck continues, we expect to be in operation for phase one, bringing phase one online, probably the end of the third quarter or beginning of fourth quarter 2025.
Okay.
So we're as close as we have ever been. We're as close to reality as we have ever been. But there are always,
of course,
issues to deal with.
Oh, absolutely. And now with that in mind, so for phase one, assuming everything is just perfect, we're talking maybe end of third quarter, beginning of fourth quarter 2025, are there any estimates for phase two and phase three?
We have all the documentation, the preliminary engineering report, the environmental assessment for phases two and three. We submitted them probably in May-ish of this year. They are with the national office in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
They are reviewing it. We would hope to receive word of funding for those two phases by the end of this month. I think realistically that is a good time estimate. I will tell you that those two phases have increased in cost.
Of course.
Because of inflation, the loan amounts in those two phases, which were in round numbers, $10 million for each phase, those loan amounts are fixed. So the cost increases have to be dealt with through additional grants.
Mm.
Because of the size, because of the estimated cost for those two phases, two and three, we are awaiting what the results will be coming out of D.C. And it's very difficult to extract information from them mm-hmm. as to where they are in our review and what they see us being funded. Very optimistically, we'd be funded for both phases. But because of the size of our project, that may not happen. We certainly anticipate funding for phase two, which would be okay, which gets us started on phase two. But we're waiting with bated breath.
Interesting. So the $10 million that's fixed, the information you get back from them may be more than that $10
million? Oh, no. The overall cost estimate for those two phases is somewhere in the neighborhood of around, let's say, $70 to $75 million total for the two phases. The total loan for those two phases, again, in round numbers, is roughly $20 million. That's right. Combined for both phases two and three. So we're looking for grant monies from the balance of that between the 70 to 75 and the $20 million loan. Yeah, it's all got to be grant money.
That's $55 million. Whoa.
Yes. And we understand that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money for the state of Arizona. So, we actively look for other sources of income, other grants, to minimize or to lessen the impact on RD. And that's an ongoing process. But we should know something by the end of October as to where we stand.
Okay, so by the end of October, do you think you'll have a really good handle on what the total grant amount is at that point, so you know what you've got to get to fill in the blanks?
Well, we certainly hope so. It's very hard to predict what is going to come out of D.C., out of the national office.
Oh, yeah.
They have a lot of crying babies. We're one of them. All we know is this project will be done. We have no doubt about that.
Oh, absolutely. It must be done, yes.
It must be. And fortunately, we've got very strong support from the supervisors, in particular Supervisor Humphrey, James Menlove, county manager. We've got support from the city of Globe. We have support from state agencies, from Rural Water of Arizona, from RD, from Charlene Fernandez, state director, Alicia Stanley, deputy state director. They understand the criticality of this project, as well as we have really good support from Senator Sinema's office.
Excellent.
So we have a lot of things going for us. What we may lack is real presence in D.C. We have five board members, and we have five advisors advising us, from accounting, engineering, bonds, what have you. And that's it. Yeah. We have no PR people, and we have not reached out to Gila County and asked for maybe support from their lobbyists. We're not good at doing that. We have to improve. We have our eye on getting this project done. And then other things that we really should consider are kind of like, oh, by the way, things. We have to improve in that. But we do the very best we can. And again, we have very, very wide support. And we also have really great support from WIFA, the Water Infrastructure Finance Association Arizona. They are really in our corner and continue to look for ways in which we and they can work together.
That's great. Well, Tim's sitting right here. What's the chance that the Gila County lobbyists can step up on TRSD?
Well, I've had my hand up for quite some time now, but on radio, Robert can't see my hand up. So I've just been waiting for an opening. Robert, just one question, and you know that we support you and we do what we can, and you know, I will be happy to make calls for you. But one question, and everything's going up in our world today. So the increase up to $75 million, and we get this plant going. What is that going to do as far as cost to the constituents for service? Because it seemed to me back in meetings when we were going that the cost to the constituents wouldn't be any more than what is normal utility cost within the area. Is that still the same, or about what, where are we looking at? And I know that would probably be depend on the grant and the funding, but I guess that's a question that I'm going to get asked a lot from constituents, is cost to them as we progress in getting this done, which I feel as if it's a major important infrastructure issue. But at go ahead.
There are two parts to the answer on that, Tim. The way the project will be, the project is broken down into repaying the bonds, and the constituents in the area will be responsible for that. The other part of the project is O&M, operations and maintenance, and funding what are called short-lived assets, SLAs. Those are two things. What the assessments, when I said before, the loan value for phases 2 and 3 is pretty much fixed. Again, in round numbers, is not pretty much fixed, is fixed in round numbers at $20 million. That's the loan amount for all three phases. The total loan amount is, in round numbers again, $32 million. That will not change. Okay. RD understands that. If they said, well, you need to increase your loans, that means the whole project is going to have to go out for reevaluation. Mm-hmm. We'd have to start the assessment process all over. So from the resident standpoint, they are isolated from the increases in capital cost of the project.
To pay,
all, you know, go ahead. Originally, the overall project, all three phases, was around $70 million. And of that, $32 million in round numbers was loan. The balance was grant funds.
Okay.
Now the project cost has increased substantially because of inflation. The loan amount at $32 million has not changed, will not change, and so the residents will not be affected by the increased project cost. Now, operation and maintenance, that cost, if we look at that individually, that cost will be well within the O&M cost. The monthly bill will be well within the range of what I'm trying to think of a good word, standard, what standard utility rates for wastewater treatment are in this region.
And I thank you very much for that, because even in my board meetings, I try to ask staff or somebody questions to get an answer like you just gave me, because you just answered a million questions by stating that with the cost of construction going up and the cost of a building, it goes up. But the $32 million is what is the payback loan amount to the people that are going to be benefiting, or the properties, I should say, benefiting from this utility. And that's been that way. It's going to stay that way. And we're just going to go forward. And it's not going to be at any cost. It's going to might cost you a whole lot in time, energy, effort, and stress levels. But you know, that I appreciate you answering in the manner that you did to let everyone know kind of where this is at.
Okay, I've got a question. So the $32 million in loan amount, that's paid back separately from, like you said, O&M. Now, O&M is going to be the monthly sewer bill that people get, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so these are two different things.
The O&M cost will cover operation, maintenance, and again, a fund set aside for replacing short-lived assets, pumps, valves,
sure,
motor that may go out. That's what that's set aside for. So yes, that's the monthly bill.
Right, so the $32 million, is that paid back through property tax?
That is paid back. Each property will be assessed.
Right.
A value, and we are right now trying to determine how we will do that. We have a fairly good idea as how properties will be assessed. They will not be assessed on acreage or size. people are concerned, I've got 5 acres. Are you going to assess me on that? The answer to that is no. That is not considered at all. We are looking at a couple alternatives. When we develop, and we're going to have this done in the project schedule time frame in the very near future. When we decide, when we internally with our advisors and the board decide on how we're going to do this, we are going to bring a third-party firm in to assess what we have done, what our rationale is, and have them give us feedback as to what are we missing? Is this the better way to approach it? Mm-hmm. Do they have any suggestions? We as a board and our financial advisors are very sensitive to the financial conditions, the broad range of financial conditions that exist within our project. And we are doing everything to alleviate undue burdens on the residents. So we're not, whatever it is, we don't have that approach. We are really, really trying to address this way in a rational fashion. It's not going to make everybody happy.
No, of course not.
That never happens.
Of course not.
So we're going to do the best we can for our residents. Now, let me step back and say something which I haven't addressed.
Okay, but Robert, let me interrupt you because we have the Globe City Mayor coming on in about 8 minutes. So I want you to do as much as you can, and we can always do this again
next
month if we have more information. And so I just wanted to not let you know you got about 6 minutes to round up and cover what you need to, or we're going to pull out that long hook like they did on the stage, I just wanted to let you know the mayor is going to follow here shortly.
Don't worry about that.
I'm taking up your time. I'll shut up so you can go ahead.
Yes, thank you for that, Tim. I know what I need to say. One of the things we haven't touched on, in the agreement with BHP, they have first right to the effluent that we will generate from the plants. When we're at full build-out, all three phases initially, we'll be generating about 350,000 gallons a day. That's a bit over 1 acre-foot a day.
When we sell that effluent,
the income we generate from that sale, will be significant on a yearly basis, the net revenue will go to two places. And we're doing this in accordance with Arizona revised statutes. We will be setting up a fund where we can put some of that money in, when I say fund, a bank, a pot for money, so that we will be able to deal with major additions or changes to the system without impacting the residents. The other part of that money will be available to us to assist residents as necessary with O&M costs. And we will set up a process to do that. So when we sell the effluent, We know exactly what we want to do, set up a kitty for major changes, assist our residents with a goodly part of that money. Percentage-wise, we haven't addressed that. But that's another issue we are dealing with. How can we help the residents of our district? So that's the last thing I want to say. And when this project, with the first PER engineering report for phase one, the effluent sale, they said in the PER, oh, by the way, maybe you can make $2,000 a month selling your effluent if anybody wanted it. We all understand the water needs right now. That $2,000 has increased by a factor of 10.
So
we could sell our effluent at a substantial benefit to the residents of our district.
That's excellent. Excellent
news. I thank you very, very much for coming on, for being as informative as you were to help people better understand where we're trying to go with this, and help them the best that we can, and create infrastructure for our area so a lot of our employees don't have to live in Mesa, Phoenix, or Tempe, right, or elsewhere.
Right.
They can cash their checks here and spend them here if we can get some infrastructure going. So thank you very, very much for all you're doing, and thanks for coming on the radio with me and Raleigh this evening. And Raleigh, I think I'm going to just kind of wrap up now because I have some things, but we're out of time, and I've always got time to share.
And you know, I don't know if we are or not. And by the way, Robert, I'll let you go, but thank you. Hopefully we can call you again, maybe even next month, to get an update on what happened in D.C.
Anytime, any place, just not at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Got it. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you all for having me.
Oh,
thank you. Have a good evening.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, it's so funny, and I understand that 3 in the morning is perfect for me. However, I don't know if Mayor Gamaros is even here.
He is.
All right, he is.
Okay, well, that's good. Raleigh, thank you very much, and we will see you next month.
Absolutely, and I'm looking forward to it.
By the way, people, we're sorry you didn't get time to call in this trip, but I'll expect calls next time.
Right, because we know you were going to call in, of course. And let's mention next time, because next time is November, and that will be November 13th, Monday, November 13th at 5:30. And this will replay Sunday morning on KJAA, 1240 AM, 106.1 FM at 8 AM, and it will be online before the end of the week at kqss.net.
Thank you very much, Raleigh. Right, take care. Have a good evening.
You too. All right.
I'm headed to Miami for town council.
Oh, excellent. Well, we'll talk about that next time.